All right, guys. Romans 3. This is part two. I know a lot of you guys weren't here last week. Thank you guys also for braving the snow. I really didn't think anyone would be here. I figured everybody would stay home today, so got a pretty good group, especially you, since you have so far to drive.
That's not even real snow.
So last week's main theme was righteousness. It was, I try to make this really strong point, how imperative in every single person's walk it is to know this section of Scripture. Romans 3, this whole, verse 20 through verse 26. I mean, this is about as foundational as it gets. That's why we're taking so long to go through it. I'm still trying to figure out if today's lesson is a 1 week or 2 week lesson, and we're just going to see how far we get. But there's just so much here. And it's worth reading over and over and over and over till you get it. And 3:23 is probably, if I'm saying Romans 3 is just the theme of the whole gospel, I'd say Romans 3:23 is about the main verse inside of everything Paul's talking about. And I promised last week I'd come back to it, but it just says simply, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And he took three and a half chapters to get here, he gets to this point, and it sums up everything he said. Every one of us, Jews, Gentiles, you, me, we've all sinned, and we've all fallen short, and the thing we've fallen short of is his glory. Made that point last week. We're not just falling short of his standard, which we are doing. He has his standard, and we're always falling short of that. But the main thing that we fall short of is his glory. And I kind of had to ponder that and think about it. But most people say the best definition for Romans 3:23 is Romans 1:23. So just everyone take a turn, probably one page back is all you got to go. But Romans, and just remember that, if you're explaining Romans 3:23 to someone, which I guarantee you will if you're sharing the gospel consistently, you're going to have to share that verse. And the best way to explain Romans 3:23 is to go back to Romans 1:23. How am I falling short of God's glory? Well, Romans 1:23, 22, just to clarify what he's talking about, says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." 1:23, "And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." That's how you fall short of glory. Because actually, what you're doing when you sin is you're doing an exchange. It's a trade. And what you're actually trading, it says here, they exchanged what? They exchanged the glory of the immortal God, okay, perfect glory, and they're trading it for images of man and birds and animals and snakes, So, clarify one more time. How am I falling short of glory? How am I falling short, of God's glory? I'm trading his glory. I trade it. I say, okay, I have God's glory. He's right in front of me. He's made himself known to me. He's right here, full of love, full of glory, full of, everything I need, and I choose to trade him. I make this exchange, and instead I get things that are lesser. I get images of man. I get images of things that he made. But it's always a trade, and you've got to, we've all got to get our mindset wrapped around that. That every time I'm sinning, every time I sin, I'm making a trade of glory. Sin would look so much less appealing if we could wrap our faith around that. And that we could really get, that's what we're doing, It's more than just, dang it, I screwed up again. And it's more than just, here's this thing I did, God's going to need it. I'm trading glory. I know I've said that 100 times. But you need to think about that. Because you need to think about the last sin you committed. It's going to be the best way I can think of to make this real. The last sin that you committed, you traded glory. And I want you to think about how you did that. You had a need, and it all started, you had a need for satisfaction. You felt that longing in your heart that should be for God, and you chose to fill that with something that wasn't God. Because Okay, so what you're really thinking in your heart, okay, this is really what you're thinking. I have a longing in my heart. I need to fill it with something. I have God right here. I have these other things. And what you're choosing is what in your mind you believe is going to be the thing that fills it the best. Does that make sense? You're going to pick. You have God, and you have several other options to fill your heart with, and you're going to pick the thing that you believe in your heart to be the thing that's best. And so when you choose, when the guy is struggling at home with pornography, you know, he could turn to God, and you know, or he could turn to that, and he's deep down somewhere in his heart, even though he knows better, he's saying, what's going to satisfy me the most, what's going to fill my heart the best is this image. And so what you're doing is you're giving glory to something because you're saying, this is better. That's really what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. Every single sin. So the last sin you committed, I want you to really process again and think through, you know, what exactly you chose and what exactly you decided and what exactly you were believing in your heart. That's it. You're exchanging glory. You're saying God's not glorious as this, and you're saying this is more glorious than God. It's an exchange, and it's man, it just almost sickens you when you think of that reality. What's really happening every single time. I'm going to get to why we actually do that. I hope today, and if not next week. But Romans 3:23, the best definitions for that is Romans 1:23, that I'm falling short of glory because I'm exchanging his glory for less glorious things. It goes on to say, if you remember me talking about this after that, is that because they did that, God gives them up to lust in their hearts, to impurity, to a darkening of their hearts. He makes their hearts foolish. He gives them up to things. The reason he does that, just for summary's sake, found this in Proverbs when I was reading this week, and it summarizes it perfectly. Proverbs actually says, in chapter 1, it says, you don't got to turn here, but because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord, and they wouldn't have any of my counsel, and they despised all of my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and they shall have their fill of their own devices. Okay, that's why God gives you up to things. And so one sin leads to another, because God's saying, if you want that, I'm going to give you your fill of that. And if you're choosing to glorify something else, he's like, I'll let you glorify that and see how good it treats you for a while. And then eventually you'll repent, hopefully. But this is the gospel. This is how you're falling short every day. So Romans 3:24, back to our main passage, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Talked about this last week. We are justified by his grace as a gift, okay, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so, man, it takes so many times to read through this and grasp it all. But to start breaking down slowly, 24 again says, we are justified by his grace. We know that, right? I know you guys are all going to know everything I'm about to say, but justified just means we're made right. Because Paul's whole point is trying to say you're actually wrong with God. You're not in a good place with God, but because of Jesus, you're justified, you're made right, and you're made right by his grace as a gift, okay? You've got to understand that. These are all imperatives of really getting the gospel. His grace is a gift. You have to, the biggest battle in our Christian walk, I believe, is accepting things as a gift. That's the hardest thing you're ever going to come up against. It's not, you know, it's not this whole, you know, we think that all these other things are so hard, you know. And the hardest part is actually that God gave something to you as a gift. That means free, you know. That means that he paid for it. He did it all. And it's so hard to grasp that he actually just gave this to me and I don't owe him anything. I can just receive this. So grace is a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I wanted to talk a little bit about redemption, but I don't think I will. But just that word is, again, worth just bringing up through the redemption, that I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. That's another, you can just sit here and think about one word at a time here. But you have to think through, like, here's where I was, here's where I am in sin, and all this thing that God gave me in Christ, in it is redemption. You know, I should be in a different place. I should be apart from God. I should be separated from Him. And He redeemed me. He redeemed me. He brought me back to where I should be, like sin never happened. I mean, that's the full redemption that He gave us in Christ. You know, it's not, you didn't get a half redemption. You didn't get this deal where He kind of just picked you up a little bit. I mean, He redeemed you. He brought you right back up to the top. I mean, full relationship with God, full ability to go to Him with boldness, to ask things from Him, to pray, to receive love and grace and forgiveness. You have a full redemption, okay? Not a partial. That's one of the other things. You know, we sometimes think, well, I know God's forgiven me, but how high did He bring me up? You know, sometimes we still think we're just kind of wallowing, you know, down in mud and darkness and sin. And He gave you a full redemption in Christ. How much can you receive, you know, by faith? So here's what I want to get to. 25 says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. And that word, propitiation, is an important word to understand. It just means, a propitiation is a sacrifice that has two things. It satisfies God's wrath on one hand, and on the other hand, it gives you unmerited favor. That's what that word means. I'm going to say it again. Propitiation is a sacrifice that appeases God's wrath. You know, it calms God's wrath. It satisfies fully God's wrath. And it also, on top of that, gives you unmerited favor. Okay? It gives you favor you don't deserve. So it's like you get your negative canceled out, and you get a positive on top of that. But Jesus is a propitiation. He is that sacrifice. And so when it says, God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by, what? 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. And this was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. So I'm going to go ahead and divide this. I'm kind of deciding right now. I'm going to divide this into two parts. We'll cover the rest of this next week. The route I want to go today is, all right, let's go this way. He says this was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. What He's saying is, in the Old Testament, He still does this today. He's in his divine forbearance. He's passing over former sins. Okay, I think He still does this in a sense today. But if you think of it like this, in the Old Testament, people commit a sin, and do they get the punishment they deserve right away? I mean, is the punishment you deserve for sin is death? Okay, when someone sins in the Old Testament, do they die right away? They don't. I mean, and it's because God is looking ahead, and He knows that at a certain point in time, Jesus is going to come and die, and you know, and He's going to make this moment in history that people can put their faith in. But He sees that. He sees that coming. And so in the Old Testament, he in His forbearance, in His patience, he's passing over certain sins. And He still does the same thing today because we don't get our immediate punishment for sin right away. Even though there's a full punishment coming, we don't get the full immediate punishment because He's, you know, there's a certain amount of patience in dealing with people, you know, and a certain work in everyone's lives where they can eventually, you know, see Jesus and grasp forgiveness. But the problem with that is, if you're following me, is what that does is if my wife goes and sins and she doesn't get her full punishment that she deserves for what she did right away, you know, let's say she sins and nothing happens, what are you going to think? You're going to think, wow, I got away with that, you know. And your mind just starts to slip. And you start to think, I got away with sin once. I can get away with sin again. And you start, is that right? I mean, you guys all do this, right? And you start to think, okay, maybe God isn't either watching, and we start to lose faith in his, you know, daily activity in our life. Or maybe you're thinking, man, maybe God just doesn't care. Or maybe we start to over-rely on God's grace and just think, he's just going to keep forgiving me. I can keep doing this. But we get in error pretty quick if we combine this whole God's patience thing, you know, without faith, and that faith being in knowing what his word says to be true and what he's really going to do. So if we don't combine that with faith, we're going to slide. Now, the reason I brought in Romans 1 again to define this was because I wanted just to remind you that not only do you have your experience then kind of skewed, you know, because you can't look back and say, well, God's immediately punished me every time. But also your mind is what? Your mind is full, or your heart becomes foolish, and your heart becomes darkened, and your heart becomes impure. It says all three of those things directly. You know, your heart completely becomes a mess. And so now, when, this is every one of you, by the way, you have messed up experiences and messed up minds and messed up hearts. And when Satan comes in and you get one little temptation that should be obviously wrong and terrible looking and disgusting looking, and, you know, it's a complete exchange of God's glory, and you get this nasty temptation in front of you, it should be obvious. But you have a messed up mind and heart and experience, and all three of those things working together, it's really, really, really easy for your inner man to say, this is all right, you know, or this isn't that big a deal, and you fall for temptation so easy. It's why we sin all the time. We're messed up to the core. And so, man, it's so easy to sin. And here's what I want to get out of. I'm trying to get to a summary with skipping part of what I wanted to talk about. You really have one thing that, and you can challenge me on this. I know there's several little things, and it's ultimately God. But when I'm reading this passage, I see 99%, this is what God did. God provides a righteousness. You know, God provides a propitiation. He's the one who justified. He gave you grace as a gift. All this is 99% things that God did for you. But then I see one word that continually has to do with you. And I see it when he says, there's a righteousness of God that comes through faith. I see God put forward Jesus as a propitiation to be received by faith. He wants to be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay, so it's 99% what God does, and that one thing that I continually see that you do is faith. And so when I say, Katie says, how do I fight this temptation? You know, how do I, when my mind's a mess and I can't think straight and it feels right to sin and my, you know, I can barely put up a fight and understanding what's even going on. I see that you have faith to focus on. You have one main weapon in your fight with sin. And so, and it's faith because it looks like this. Even though your inner man is, completely jumbled and your mind's a mess, God gives you this anchor, okay? And it's such a powerful anchor because it hasn't changed. It's so important that we protect that it doesn't change, you know? But I can sit here for the last however many thousands of years, 2,000 years, and it still says the exact same thing. It still says the same thing about me, and it still says the same thing about my sin, and it still says the same thing about God, and it still exalts him and doesn't exalt sin and tells me right where I'm at and tells me right where I'm at as far as need, and it says the exact same thing, and I can sit here with my one little weapon I have, even though it be small, and it, you know, and say, by faith, this says God is most glorious. that God is most satisfying. This says that sin is not satisfying. Even though my flesh says this looks way better, my faith can overrule that. Faith is the one thing I have that can defeat sin if it's in the right place. It's not going to be your effort, and it's not going to be how, you know, it's not going to be how smart you are, and it's not going to be how much motivation you have, and it's not going to be anything else. It's going to be this little thing that you have faith, and your faith can overrule anything in your flesh. You need to understand that. That's how you win your battle with sin. It's how you do it. And I don't do it perfect every time, and I'm not saying if you just hear this lesson, you're going to do it perfect every time, but you need to know that's where you need to direct what you have. You know, you need to be directing your faith into saying, wow, you know, the reality is, if I trust what this says above anything else, I'm exchanging God's glory, and I'm giving more glory to this image, or I'm giving more glory to this, you know, satisfaction, or this lie, or this, you know, exalting myself. I can give more glory to myself than God. That's what's really happening. I'm out of time, and this will be a two-part lesson for next week that I'm excited about to finish the rest of it. But here's what I'm saying, okay? It's just amazing to me that this little thing that I still overlook in my Christian walk called faith, you know, I still overlook that because I get distracted with trying to do everything right. And I have the most powerful thing, you know, faith is a gift that God gave to you. He gave you a measure of faith, and I don't care how big it is, but it overrules this whole mess of garbage that you're confronted with daily, okay? And you all have this, and you all have this anchor to put your faith in. And actually, since faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word, the more you do that, the more you put faith, this is how you grow faith. You know, this, how do I grow my faith? I mean, you put your faith in the Word becomes alive to you, you hear more of it, and as you hear the Word, your faith grows. I mean, but just want to give you that reminder this morning, just simple and easy, put your faith in what He really says, and let that be your battle, and let God fight every other battle around you, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we'd simplify again. I pray that we just have faith like some of these Old Testament guys that just seemed to trust you, and they had their worries and everything, but they lived their lives and just did it in faith and just watched you take care of everything else, Father. I pray for each individual soul this morning for faith to be put in your Word. Just whatever little bit we're hanging on with, that it'd be put into your Word, what you said, what you say about things, and that we'd be able to see you clearly and give you glory and recognize sin for what it is, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.